Hey, welcome in everybody to the post game podcast here on the Maize and Brew Podcast Network. I am Vaughn Lozon, site manager here at Maize and Brew, and my God, was this a game? It was the game. 11-0 versus 11-0, Michigan versus Ohio State in Columbus at the Horseshoe. First time that both these teams went into this matchup undefeated. For the first time since that game of the century in 2006 that Ohio State won by a field goal. Today, a much different game for both teams. Michigan coming out of this one victorious 45-23. And this one started off in the fashion that you would probably expect with an offense as potent as Ohio State's has. They really got off to a big start in the first quarter. They ended up going up 7-0 pretty quickly, as a matter of fact. And you all know, we're all Michigan fans here at Maize and Brew. I was watching this game at home. Trevor Woods handled all of the in-game on-site coverage. So go check out all his work on maizeandbrew.com. He is putting in a ton of work, hence why I am running the show today on the post-game podcast. But as I was saying, Ohio State went up early, 7-0, and it was an impressive first drive by them that ended with a C.J. Stroud throwing a touchdown on third and goal. It was 4 yards to Emeka Abuka. The extra point was good, put them up 7-0. And the nerves that I already had really shot through the roof at that point. I was like, man, here we go. It's going to be one of those games, right? And I don't know if any of you guys felt that way as well, but my nerves were just all over the place, especially after that first drive. Michigan responding, but they got a field goal to go down 7-0 to 7-3. So they were able to march down the field in some capacity, but the one thing that kind of really hurt them, I think, early on, was Blake Corum's injury. It was so apparent that he was battling that knee injury, still was not 100%, probably not even close. He ran one play and pretty much came right out of the game. He had 2 carries for 6 yards total, and he was nowhere to be found after those 2 carries for 6 yards. So who knows if he's going to play in the Big Ten championship game next week. Odds are he'll probably give it a shot like he did this week, but I think it would probably be wise to withhold him, give him the rest, the proper rest that he needs, because if you win the Big Ten championship game, then you don't have to play again until New Year's Eve, December 31st, giving him more than a month to heal whatever is going on with that knee injury that he sustained a week prior in the Illinois game. So they were able to march down the field, get three points out of it. It by no means was a failed drive, but Jake Moody being able to connect on a 49-yarder, he's about as good as anybody in the country. When you're within 49, you know, 50, 52 yards, I think you can kind of just trot him out there and say, yeah, we've got a really good shot to make this field goal. So that's what Jim Harbaugh did. And the game at that point was 7-3. Ohio State responded with a field goal of their own on the ensuing drive. So their first 2 drives of the game, they were able to put 10 points on the board. Michigan then went 3-and-out after that. And that's when my anxiety really shot off. And it was already, trust me, my anxiety was already through the roof. It was really through the roof at this point, but Michigan's defense really locked in, really started to step up when they needed to, force C.J. Stroud and the Ohio State Buckeyes into a fourth down situation at the 34-yard line, pass incomplete to the tight end, Cade Stover, turnover on downs for Ohio State. And that's kind of a foreshadow as to what would happen later on in the game as well. Unfortunately, Michigan was not able to take advantage of that. They went 3-and-out again. The offense in the first quarter specifically was kind of inept. They weren't able to move the ball successfully. The run game was nowhere to be found with Blake Corum on the sidelines. They gave CJ Stokes a few carries that didn't result in a whole lot of yardage. Donovan Edwards was not able to find a whole lot of running room, and JJ McCarthy wasn't really running the ball a whole lot up to this point. So, fast forward a little bit after this, and on a 3rd and 9, this is really when the play, this was the play of the game, the one that really changed everything, in my opinion. JJ McCarthy on a 3rd and 9 at Michigan's 31-yard line completes a pass to Cornelius Johnson, who shakes off a defensive back, cuts it up the sideline, touchdown, 69 yards. All of a sudden, it's a 10-10 ball game. It is tied up, and I could not believe to see a play made at that moment in the game, because you haven't really seen a whole lot of that out of the passing game this season with Michigan, especially with Cornelius Johnson. He's had some drop issues, as have some of the other receivers. So it was really good to see that. And JJ McCarthy, Cornelius Johnson, all those guys, the sideline was instantly fired up. Everybody at that point must have felt so confident in their chances to eventually come back and win this game. Going down 10-3, instantly being 10-10. And that was indicative of the rest of the day, because it was just big play after big play. JJ McCarthy on the next drive, completing a 75-yard touchdown pass to, you guessed it, Cornelius Johnson. Again, he had a huge game for the Wolverines. 4 catches, 160 yards, 2 huge touchdowns. And I cannot emphasize huge enough. Colston Loveland ended up getting in on the action, had a 45-yard touchdown reception later in the game. His first touchdown as a Michigan Wolverine. That is certainly a very good opportunity to end up getting more playing time as the season goes on, and he certainly has earned that. And not only with the Luke Schoonmaker injury for the last couple of weeks, but he is as reliable a tight end as you can find, especially for a true freshman. He is getting open at such a high level. It just seems every single time that they run a play and he's running a route, he is open. And I know that JJ McCarthy missed him several times in the prior game against Illinois. But look, the fact of the matter is, if you keep putting him out there and you keep running routes, he's going to eventually be a huge problem for defensive backs, linebackers. Colston Loveland is, he's got huge potential, guys. And that 45-yard touchdown that he had really showed that, because he had to shake off a defender and probably go another 10 to 15 yards to end up getting in the end zone for that touchdown. Let's talk about another player that ended up making huge plays. And this was in the second half more so than anything. Donovan Edwards, man. I mean, what more could we say about Donovan Edwards? Having touchdown runs of 75 yards, which that 75-yard touchdown run, I mean, he turned on the Jets and he bolted through the defensive line. I mean, it was practically that he didn't even get touched. He just, it was lightning in a bottle, and he was on fire in that second half. He clutch run after clutch run, and he started to pick up some chunk runs, especially on the drive where JJ McCarthy ended with a rushing touchdown of his own. He ended with 12 of 24 passing, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then 6 carries for 27 yards and a touchdown did JJ McCarthy. Let's go back to Donovan Edwards, though, because he really shined in that second half. He had a total. He finished the game with 22 carries, 216 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he averaged 9.8 yards per carry. Obviously, that is going to be assisted by those aforementioned long runs of 75 yards and 85 yards. Also caught two passes for 9 yards. Definitely didn't have a whole lot of receiving action just because of the hand injury, and he kind of had it taped up, and you could tell that it was clearly bothering him. So the fact that he was able to tote the rock that many times for that many yards in that big of a situation, in that big of a game, he is a stud, and he is going to be a problem next season. You probably imagine Blake Corum goes to the NFL. If that's the case, we wish him the absolute best. We want him to shine in the NFL as we do all these Wolverines. Donovan Edwards is going to be a problem as RB1 next season. So let's talk about the defense, though, very quickly, because lots of big plays. And the leading tackler in this game, who would you think it was? Maybe Mike Morris as he's coming back from injury, perhaps Junior Colson at the linebacker position, perhaps one of the other linebackers, Michael Barrett. Nope, it wasn't either of those guys. It was defensive back, true freshman, Will Johnson, had 7 tackles, played very well, I thought that was one of the best games that he's had. He had some very important tackles. Now, you probably say, look, for a cornerback, probably not good to show up that many times in the stat sheet, especially on the tackles. But the ones that he made were of the clutch variety. I think more often than not, he was able to keep the wide receivers for Ohio State in check and in front of him. And those tackles that he made that I can remember were short of the first down yardage, especially later in the game, kept the clock running for Ohio State. So time was ticking, forced Ohio State to kind of run the hurry up offense, especially when they were down late in the game. I thought Will Johnson had a hell of a game. Another defensive back that we should talk about, Mike Sainristil, still, he had an absolutely great game, had 6 tackles of his own in the pass breakup in the end zone. On their tight end was it's such a smart, incredibly savvy play by a guy that was playing wide receiver last year. Daxton Hill goes to the NFL. The Wolverines need somebody to man the nickel position in the defensive secondary. Mike Sainristil converts to defensive back, and he has had a hell of a season. I don't think Mike Sainristil still gets enough credit for Michigan's defensive successes, especially in this game. He deserves a pat on the back, a round of applause, a free beer by somebody in Ann Arbor. Please get this man a beer because he balled out today. He had a great game. And sure, he gave up some receptions there. And obviously, you're going to give up receptions to these receivers. That Emeka Ebuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously being one of the best receivers in the country, the fact that they were able to hold him relatively in check. I know he had the long touchdown reception, but relatively in check. I think the Michigan defense played a hell of a second half, and I think Jesse Minter is firmly in the running for the Broyles Award, given to the best assistant coach in the nation. This would be Michigan's 2nd straight Broyles Award winner if he wins it. Josh Gattis won it last year. And I think with the second half adjustments that Jesse Minter makes, it's just incredible. Every single week, even last week with Illinois, sure, they were able to get some points on the board, but the defense stepped up when they needed to, especially in that 4th quarter against the Fighting Illini. The entire defense stepped up in the entire second half against Ohio State on the road. They were losing at halftime, found a way to win, gave up a field goal, just 3 points in the second half. You got to give major, major kudos and props to Jesse Minter because he has just been incredible going from Mike McDonald to him. The defense has carried over. And they lost a lot of incredible players from that defense last season. Obviously, Hutchinson balling out with the Detroit Lions. David Ojabo is going to get a shot with the Baltimore Ravens now that he's back from injury. Daxton Hill getting drafted in the 1st round by the Cincinnati Bengals. Josh Ross, a veteran linebacker now also with the Baltimore Ravens. They lost so many pieces to this defense last year to this year. I think the job that Jesse Minter's done this year, I think it's better than what Mike McDonald did last year, simply because of those key departures that Michigan had. And you really had to rely on some of the guys that hadn't really shined a whole lot until this season. Mike Morris has played very well in the games that he's played. Iabi Oki, the fact that they were able to get him to transfer in just a couple weeks before the season started, he had a key sack on CJ Stroud in this game. Should have been a fumble, but the referee blew it dead. And just all of these other guys kind of just stepping in and making plays, whether it's Michael Barrett with his two interceptions against Rutgers. Braden McGregor also had a very good game against Ohio State today. He didn't get in, he didn't get any sacks or anything like that, but I thought Braden McGregor overall had a very strong game. Jalen Harrell had a good game. Mozzie Smith has stepped up when you needed him to. Rod Moore has also played phenomenal ball as a true sophomore at the safety position. Chris Jenkins, I mean, we could really go on all day and all night, but I don't have the time to do that, and you don't have the listening capabilities of that either. So, overall, great game for Michigan. Ryan Day is now 1-2 against the Wolverines. Jim Harbaugh won the last two, going to the Big Ten Championship again. CFP spot on the line. And at this point, it's all but guaranteed for Michigan that they'll be representing the Big Ten in the college football playoff. As of this recording, we don't know who the Big Ten West winner is. I believe the Purdue Boilermakers were winning last time I checked. I'll have to obviously look at that, and we'll have that update on MazeandBrew.com as well. But yeah, we don't know who they're going to be playing, but major props to this team. Major props for silencing the haters, silencing the doubters. And I going into this game, I thought Ohio State would win a very, very close game. I'm just going to have to check the expectations at the door next year, because this is this program is different now, and Michigan is, it's back to being a true national championship contender year in and year out. They are just one of those teams. They're doing their thing, and it's wonderful to see. And I hope you've all enjoyed this ride. Michigan 12-0 for the first time since 1997. They'll have a chance to go 13-0 next week against possibly Purdue, possibly Illinois. We'll see. We'll have that update soon. But stick around, because this is just it's just the beginning, like Harbaugh said. It's just the beginning. We've got one more game week for the Big Ten Championship, and then we will cover whatever the next game is. And I'm eager and excited to see what that is. I hope you guys are too. And I hope you guys continue to check out Maize and Brew coverage. We really, really appreciate your support. And we love doing this. We genuinely do. It has been an absolute pleasure covering this 12-0 team. Hopefully go 13-0 next week. But yeah, that is going to do it for us in the post-game podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I am Maize and Brew site manager Vaughn Lozon. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. Follow Maize and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. 5-star reviews for all our podcasts. Subscribe to the Maize and Brew podcast. We would certainly appreciate that as well. And leave a comment down in the comment section if you're listening on the website. Would love to hear your thoughts about this game, about whoever they're going to end up playing in the Big Ten Championship. It's just going to be a great week leading up to the Big Ten Championship. So thank you once again. 12-0, baby. Go Blue.